We're holding on Zion Omid Bey's 16 lines from the bottom, about two-thirds of the way down the wide lines. Continuing with various drushes about Dayanim and their role and how they should act, the Gemara says, Dorash bar Kapara. Bar Kapara gave a drasha. Menoha milsa. Where is there a source in the pasuk for this that the Chachamim say? We have in Pirkei Avos that the Amshek Nesek Gdolah said, "Hevum badin, be slow, be deliberate and careful in judgment." In other words, think it over carefully before you're passing it. Dichtiv, because we find by the mizbeach, don't go up to my mizbeach with steps. And with steps, you would be able to hurry up. You'd be able to run up there. Instead, you have a ramp which forces you to walk slowly. And then the next pasuk continues, and these are the judgments. So we see, in other words, the Torah is hinting that the ve'elah ha'mishpatim should be done in a slow and deliberate way, and not that you're rushing to judgment. With that said, by the way, I mean there is something called Inui Hadin, where you're just delaying the judgment for no good reason. That's not allowed either. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about the think it over carefully, and we're talking about the think it over carefully. And Marshall also explains, in other words, the point is that a person shouldn't think as your voice salad. Don't go up in your own thoughts and think that I'm so great that I can figure it out right away. Realize that you're not quite at that level yet, and you have to deliberate it carefully. Similarly, Omer Rabbi Yezer, really, it's supposed to be Minayin L'dayin Shalo Yifsal Roshei Am Kodesh. Here's another thing we can learn from the same pasuk. How do we know when the Dayan comes into the and he's coming into the Beis Medrash to learn or to teach Torah, that he shouldn't step over the heads of the holy people? Meaning, in other words, in those days, everybody sat on the floor. So the Dayan or the Rosh Yeshiva or anybody walks in after everybody else. He's going to have to step over their heads in order to he's going to have to step over their heads in order to get to his place. So not literally over their heads, but he's walking through while they're sitting on the floor. It makes it look like he's stepping over their heads. So how do we know he shouldn't do that? In other words, he should get there first. He should get there first before everybody sits down. Either that, or they're going to make a path for him. So it's just same thing. Same thing. The pasuk says, "Don't go up in steps," and then it continues. These are the judgments. So it means, in other words, don't be walking in a way that makes it look like you're stepping over the people and showing them a lack of derech eretz. We had this actually not so long ago in Ein Yaakov and Yevamos as well, but yeah. Okay, so now the Gemara says, by the way, we're saying ve'elam ha'shvatim ha'shatosim. What's the expression ha'shatosim that you should place? Usually, tosim refers to something tangible. So ha'shatolamdem mi'boilei. So the pasuk should be saying that the pasuk should be saying that you should teach them the dinim. Why ha'shatosim? This refers to the tools of the dayanim. So this is actually a physical thing, a davar hametaltel, that you can actually put down in front of them. So make sure that you show them the klei hadayanim, these tools that the dayan uses for his job. And that way, like, in other words, like it'll make them realize, you know what, there are consequences if we don't listen to the dayanim, and that'll make them listen. So what are these klei hadayanim? Rav Huna ki have a nafik ladina. When Rav Huna would go out to his beis din shtibul to a din Torah, Amar Hachi, he would tell his shamashim, apikuli moni chanusoi, bring out the tools of my store. So in other words, the tools that I use, for my job. Different gears that Marsha brings is monid dinah, the kalim for my din. Whatever. The point is, what are they? Makil, a stick to beat people who need makas mardus, or ritzua, and a strap to give people who need malchus daraisa. The shofra, and a shofar to put people in cherem when in nidui when necessary. The sandala, and a sandal for chalitza. So those are the tools of the Beis Din. So Hashem is telling Moshe, and this applies to every Beis Din throughout the generations, make sure, Dayanim, that you have these tools available. And this will be something that people will realize, you know what, the Dayan, it's not just he's telling us what to do. He's got enforcement mechanisms, and that'll make them listen. Similarly, the Gemara says when it says "Vatsaves Shevtechem ba'Oisahi," later on, Moshe describes in Parshas Devarim how he appointed judges, and he says, "I commanded your judges at that time." Now, the simple meaning is, in context, is he told them to pay attention to the to the to the dinim of judgment, make sure to judge everybody fairly, listen to both sides' arguments, and so forth. But since he continues, Shamaya ben Achechem, listen among your fellow Jews, and Vat Saver, Rashi points out that Savar is Loshen Zeros, is a Loshen of telling them to be quick and to be eager to do such a thing. So what is he telling them about? He's telling the Yodim, be zrizim, be quick and be eager when necessary to use these tools. L'shem shamayim. You do have to be able to lahatol emal atzibur, to make the people afraid of you so that they know to listen. So don't hold back when necessary to make these tools to use. These tools when necessary. Tosfos actually learns the other way around, that it means that is true. But on the other hand, also Moshe is telling them, don't be overbearing on the tzibur. Don't be matal emal tzibur ludoisam yosimidai, to punish them or to threaten them more than necessary. So Dayan has to strike a balance. He has to know that the people he has to make it that people should fear him, but not too much. So that all of that is included in Moshe telling the judges Vatsava that I commanded you. All right, let's darsh in more of that pasuk. Vatzaves shevtechem. The pasuk continues. Shamoya ben achechem ushvatem. The pasuk says, "Listen between your brothers and judge." So between your brothers, Amar Rav Chanina, as horol abeisin shelo yishma divrei baldin kodem shiyavei baldin chaveri. This is a warning to beisin. They shouldn't listen to one side's arguments before the other side comes, because inevitably you hear the first side already. It has a certain effect. You feel it starts getting into your brain, and then afterwards when the other one comes, then you're more likely to dismiss it, to mentally dismiss it or think less of it or whatever. So you have to have both of them present, and the idea being that way, when one of them says his piece, then the other one is right away available to speak up to speak up against it. So Marshall points to what?
Which pasuk are you referring to?
We're talking about
to?
A pasuk in Parshas Devarim about Vatsaves Shevtechem. Moshe says, "I commanded your judges, Ba'isahi, at that time, Lamer, saying, Shamoya ben Achechem, listen between your brothers." So that means, in other words, that Dayan has to listen only when both brothers are, only when both Balei Din are present. Marshall explains also, the point is, Bein Achechem suggests you want to be exactly impartial between the two of them. If you hear one of them first, if you listen to one of them first, when the other one's not there, then you're not going to be completely impartial. And also, Vaz Horal Baldin, and it's also a warning to the Balei Din themselves. Shalayatim Dvara Vladayan Kurdim Shiyava Baldin Khaveri. He's not allowed to go and explain his claims in detail to the Dayan before the other one comes. Same idea, in other words, so that the Dayanim are not biased. Because how do we get that? If the pasuk is saying that Moshe is speaking to the Dayanim and telling them Shamoya ben Achechem, listen between your brothers, how do we get also that there's a warning for the Balei Din in there? Because Kri Beinami, because you can also read the word Shamoya as if it said Shama ben Achechem, make it heard between your brothers. In other words, that the Balei Din himself, who's making his words heard, has a responsibility to make sure that he doesn't do it in a way that's going to cause the Dayanim to be biased. We talked the other day about Yesh Em LaMikra, Yesh Em LaMasodas, but here, as the Gemara had pointed out over here, the two of them don't contradict one another. Shamoya is addressed to the Dayanim, Shama is addressed to the Balei Din, and both are true. They have to be careful about both of them. Rav Kahana Oma Mehocha. Rav Kahana says, you have another pasuk where also we see that point, because the pasuk says, Miloy Sisa. The pasuk says, Loy Sisa Shema Shav, which has a number of meanings. Literally it means don't bear a false report. So in other words, it can mean don't speak falsely about another person, etc. But also we can learn from it, the word loisisa also means don't accept it. And Corey Bay and Lois Sasse, and you can also read the word Lois Sisa, don't accept it, which is again a warning for a Dayan. Lois Sasse, don't make it be accepted, which would be speaking to the Baal Din. And either way, Shem Hashav, false report, in the sense that again, if you hear one side without the other, it's not necessarily going to be 100% true. And then later on, you hear the other side, and you're going to be a bit biased already from having heard the first one independently. So therefore, so that pasuk also Lois Sisa, which can also be read Lo Sasi, teaches us the same point to that the Dayanim and the Baalei Din have this responsibility. Next, the pasuk continues there. That same pasuk in Devarim continues Shamoya ben Achechem. It continues O Shvat Tem Tzedek, and you should judge Tzedek. So what does that mean? Omer Shlokish Tzedek as Adin va'achak choschehu. First, justify the verdict in your mind, and then cut it, and then state what it is. In other words, like we said before, the dayan has to deliberate carefully. The dayanim have to deliberate carefully before they give a verdict. So first, in other words, think it over carefully in your mind to figure out who is right and who's telling the truth, and figure out all the details, and only then pass in it. So in other words, the point is, like we said before, that you have to be careful before. Don't just give out a verdict. Make sure that you've thought it over carefully, and you know, and you're saying the din emes la'amite, as we learned yesterday. Then the pasuk continues that same pasuk ben ish uvein achi uvein geiroi. The pasuk continues that you need to judge fairly between a man and his brother, and between his ger. So between his ger, we're going to talk about in a minute what that means. But first, what does it mean? Ben ish uvein achiv, omer of Yehuda, filu ben bayis la'aliyah. Even for example, you have a case where two brothers have inherited a property, and one of them, and we have to divide it. One of them is going to get the ground floor, and one of them is going to get the second floor. So you might think to yourself, you the dayanim might think, okay, you know, big deal. What does it matter? We can just flip a coin to decide who gets what. They're both going to have a place to live after all. No, even then you need to figure out the respective values and make sure that they're both getting their fair share. So I feel a bit biased, even where it's just a matter of a ground floor versus a second floor, you still have to judge the case carefully and figure out the respective values. Other things being equal, mastama, the ground floor is going to be worth more because it's easier to get in and out of. But either way, the point is that the point is that you have to be careful even about such minor matters. Marsha brings another point as well, that the idea being you might think, for example, let's say the house, the ground floor is worth more, so it should go to the older brother. And the upstairs floor can go to the younger brothers. Then no, you still have to do that as well. You still have to be careful about that as well. And when it says uvein geiroi, when it says between his ger, now the simple meaning of geiroi means a ger, as in a ger tzedek or a ger toshav, but then the pasuk wouldn't really have to say that. So Amar Rav Yehuda afilu ben tanu l'kirayim. It means the word uvein geiroi, we're darshaning meloshen ger, meloshen living over there. So it means we mean the furniture and the appliances for the house. So afilu ben tanu l'kirayim, even for example, you have an argument about who's going to get the stove, who's going to get the oven, and who's going to get the stove. So again, you might think, what does it matter? Both of them are going to have something to cook with. So therefore, nevertheless, you still have to divide it and judge it fairly. Another point is also, Marshall makes a point as well, that it also includes, for example, so one thing you might think then that the word geiroi, again, the word another meaning of the word geiroi literally means to live there, to dwell there. So you might think, Maharsha says that you have one person has a larger household, therefore he must have the oven. The other one has a smaller household, so he can get by with the stove, and you would think that should be that. But no, that we still have to figure out the respective values, and one is going to have to compensate the other as necessary. It also includes, by the way, Bein Ishu Bein, this Bein Tanu L'Kirayim also includes, for example, the point in Bava Basra, it talks about in some length in the second parak various dinim about you have an oven in a house, How much clearance above it do you need to have between it and the ceiling? If you have it on a second floor, how thick a floor and plastering do you have to have between underneath it so that so fires don't break out? So it means you have to be careful to judge such things as well, and not just say and not just make light of that. Okay. Next, the pasuk continues. The next pasuk continue in the next pasuk in Devarim, continuing Moshe's instructions to the Dayanim, he continues, "Lo ponim b'mishpat, do not show favoritism in judgment." So what's that pasuk? So what's that pasuk adding now? Now the word loisakiru, Marsha points out, can have a double meaning. It can mean the hakir ponim often means to in Tanakh often means to show somebody favoritism. Literally means to recognize his face. But it's also there's also the word there's also the word nakir from pretty much the same Shurdish, which means to act like a stranger, like we have in this week's parasha, Vayisnakir aleihem. That Yosef saw his brothers and he pretended to be a stranger to them. So that means, so the Gemara says, it means both. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda says, if one of the Baalei Din is a friend of yours, don't recognize him, especially to show him favoritism. Rabbi Elazar says it means on the contrary. If it means also on the other hand, if the guy is not if you're not so friendly to him, don't act like a stranger to him. Either way, you have to be completely impartial, friend or enemy. Now later on, we're going to talk about in the Masechta that whether if you have somebody who's a really deeply entrenched friend or enemy, whether b'chlal you're allowed to sit on a beis din involving such a person, or whether you're able to say eidos involving such a person. We'll get to that in the third perek, Be'ez Hashem. But here we're talking about best friends, and we're not talking about worst enemies. But we're talking about inevitably you have some people that you like more than others. So therefore, so Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Elazar respectively are saying that the pasuk is warning you to not let that influence your judgment. And the Gemara gives an example involving that. Ushpizichne de Rav, Rav's host. So many times, especially when Chachamim were learning out of town, they were bored by people. So that person they were boarding by is their ushpizichon, their host. So this host. Also, l'chamed l'dinner, he one time came to Rav for a din Torah. Omale, and he says to Rav, Lavush Bazichni at, aren't you my guest? So in other words, that so in other words, like don't you realize I've been doing you a lot of favors, having you board in my house? Omale, and so Rav says, yeah, what do you need? Omale, so the guy says, Dina is they have a din Torah. Omalei, so Rav says, Postilna l'chol d'dina. I'm passeling myself to judge you because you mentioned the favors that you did for me. Strictly speaking, Tosfos says he wouldn't have to recuse himself because of that. But Rav was going the extra mile. Omalei Rav l'Rav Kahana puk dine. So instead, Rav tells his Talmud, Rav Kahana, go and judge him. I don't want to get involved over here because I'm afraid I'm going to be biased. Now that he mentioned his favors, you go and get together the Beis Din and judge him. So Chazya to have a kagoyis bay. Rav Kahana saw during the din Torah the guy's acting in a very chutzpahdik way. He's like I can say whatever I want, I can do whatever I want, and I know that Rav is gonna be on my side. Fine, he's not sitting here on the beis din, but I know that I know I've got Rav's got my back. Omalei, so Rav Kahana tells him, don't do that. Eat saisa tsaisa. If you're going to listen to what I, to what I, as the head of the Beis Din over here, I'm telling you, then good, you'll listen. V'iloi, and if not, ma'pikna la'rav me'unach, I will take Rav out of unach. Now, the word unach has a couple of different meanings. The word unach can mean strength, like you have the word oin in Lashon Kodesh. So I will take Rav out of your strength, meaning, in other words, you're going to see that Rav is not going to be able to help you because I will put you in cheirem. Another explanation of another explanation of me'unach means from your ear. You imagine schlepping Rav out of the guy's ear; it's going to hurt. So, in other words, so Rav Kahana is telling him that you're going to suffer the consequences. Don't think that you can rely on Rav and be chutzpahdik in front of the Beis Din like that. And a related point is also that from your ear, meaning in other words, don't think that Rav is going to listen to anything you have to say. You have to listen to what the Beis Din says. So this is an example of this kind of thing where Rav was going the extra mile because he knows that not just because he knows this guy, but because he mentioned to him specifically the favors that he did. And we see, in fact, that here, even in front of Rav Kahana, the guy was being a chutzpanyak, and Rav Kahana has to tell him to knock it off. Okay. Next, let's continue darshaning that pasuk, those pasukim from Parashas Dvarim, which again are all of Moshe's instructions to the dayanim that he's appointing. He continues, "Kakoton kagodol tishmon." He says, "You should listen to the small just as much as the great." In Lashon Kodesh, by the way, when you have two things that are compared with chofs, when you have a chof before one thing and before another, it means they're exactly the same. So here, in other words, the pasuk is telling you that the small and the great have to be exactly the same. Now, if it means the small and the great people, then there's not necessarily much of a chiddush in that. We already said before that you have to be completely fair between the people. So now the Gemara is understanding that it means small and great as far as the amounts of money. Amar Rish Lakish, at the money, the amount of money at stake. Amar Rish Lakish, sheyehei chovev alacha din shal pruta kedin shal mea mana. It means that a judgment involving one pruta should be as important and as precious to you as a din involving 100 mana. Well, the Gemara asks Lamai Hilchsa, as far as what? What is Rish Lakish telling us? That Moshe has to stress that you have to treat them equally. Do you mean that in both cases the Dayan has a responsibility to look carefully into the claims and counterclaims and all the dinim and decide the halacha accordingly? Of course, pshita. We said before the difference between a tanner and a kirayim or things like that, which are small differences. So we know already that they have to pay attention even to the details like that. And the answer is elalak dume. The chiddush is that as far as putting it first, in other words, if you have the two cases have come to the dayan, one involving a pruta, the other involving 100 mana, and the dayan, and the one with the pruta came first. The dayan shouldn't say, "Well, you know what? The one with the pruta is not so important. We'll deal with it later. Let me first get to the one of the 100 mana." No, he has to take them in the order in which they came, even though that means putting the pruta one first. Now, what is the chiddush of that still, or that he shouldn't do them in the order that he should do them in the order in which they came? Maharsha points out like this: a dayan is not allowed to get paid for judging dinei Torah. However, he is entitled to schar batola. As we learned this way back in Ksubas, that look, a dayan would have had another job during this time, so he needs to be paid for his time that he could have been doing some other job. Now, if it's a din of 100 mana, there's going to be money out of it to be able to pay that. But if you're talking about a din of a pruta, then there's not necessarily going to be. Nevertheless, he still has to put the din of the pruta first, because it came in that order. Ben Yehoyada, that was Maharsha. Ben Yehoyada points out another point as well, that you know what, you could think of it, the Dayan might think to himself, you know, Mela, with the din of the Pruta, there's not much of a concern. Is the other Baal Din going to run away? Is he going to run out of town in order to evade paying? Probably not. It's only a Pruta. He probably will stick around. But 100 mana, he might well skip town if we don't get to his Din Torah first. Nevertheless, we still have to keep things in order. And if we have concerns that the guy is going to run away, then we'll deal with that. But we can't say automatically because of that the larger din comes first. Next, the pasuk continues, again, continuing with these psukim. We're going phrase by phrase through these psukim and say in Chumash Devar, in Parashas Devarim. So Moshe continues, Lois guru mipnei ish, don't be afraid of any person. Amar Rav Chanan, al tachnis dvarecha mipnei ish, don't bring in and hide your words because of anybody. We had that drasha already previously on Daf Zayin, so which is why it's in parenthesis over here. Marshal takes it out, but we learned already before that it means, for example, that a dayan has reason to be afraid because one of the Baal Din is a tough customer and he's gonna harass him or whatever. Nevertheless, once he already started judging the Din Torah, he can't recuse himself. We said that you have a Talmud sitting in front of his Rebbe and realizes that his Rebbe is about to paskin wrongly in favor of the rich person in the Din Torah, for example, where the Talmud knows an argument that would help out the poor person, then he's obligated to speak up. So we learned about all of that, the idea that he's not allowed to bring in to hide his words. He has to say loisaguru. In other words, the simple meaning of loisaguru means don't be afraid, but it also means, as we learned yesterday, means don't gather in. We learned the Shurdish gur or ogar means to gather in. So here it means the same thing. Don't gather in and hide your words because of fear of a person or because of respect for a person or whatever. Now, Moshe continues, Ki amishpat le'lekim hu. He says, because the judgment is Hashem's. So what does that mean? Omer abchoma b'rav chanina. Omer akadosh baruch hu. It means that Hashem is, in other words, the judgment is Hashem's. In other words, when you're judging and telling a person to pay money, it's as if you're if you judge wrongly, if you paskin wrongly, it's as if you're taking away money from Hashem. So Amar Rav Chama Rav Chanina, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu means Hashem is saying, Lo dayan l'rishoyim shenoytan mizem mamon v'noysen l'zeh shelo kadin. Not only it's not bad enough that the rishoyim, when they judge wrongly, they're taking money from one person and giving to the other one unjustly, which means they're stealing from a person, el shematrichin osi la'achsam mamon l'baylov, but even so to speak, they're troubling me. They're bothering me to return the money to the owner. In other words, Hashem is going to have to say, look, the Dayan paskin wrongly. He paskin that Reuven owes Shimon the money, where in fact he doesn't. So now Hashem is saying, I'm going to have to manipulate things in the world to make sure that Reuven gets back that money. And it's so to speak, a tircha for Hashem to have to do that. And therefore, that's the Kiyam Mishpat Le'Elokim who realize that the judgment directly involves Hashem if you judge it wrongly. Okay. Next, Moshe finishes off his instructions to the Dayanim. He says, "Vadava." He says, "Anything that's too hard for you," then he continues, "Takrivu you should bring it to me, and I'll hear it." Amr Chaninavi, Tamer Rabbi Yoshia, Al Dover Zen Nana Shmosha. So Rabbi Chanina, or some say Rabbi Yoshia, says, because of this. Now, what does Moshe mean? Takrivun a lie, you should bring it to me and I'll hear it, as if to say it, in other words, like he's saying that that I'll be your court of last resort. It sounds a bedakos, a little gaivadik. So for that, Moshe was punished in a certain other case where by Bnoi Moshe, where Moshe had to bring their judgment close to Hashem. So in other words, because Moshe said like that, he should have said, Rashi points out, he should have said, if you have anything that you don't know, anything that's too difficult for you, takrivun lifnei hashchina. You should bring it in front of the Shechina, bring it to Hashem, meaning, and it'll be understood that the Dayanim themselves don't talk to Hashem, they talk to Moshe, who in turn asks Hashem, but the fact that he says, a lie, so Hashem made it at one point that he didn't know the halacha, and he had to ask, and he had to ask Hashem directly in front of everybody. But Maskiflor of Nachman by Yitzchak, Rav Nachman by Yitzchak says, "What do you mean? How could you say that? What did Moshe do wrong? Miksiv v'ashmiachem? Did Moshe say I will make you hear it? In other words, which then it would be that he's taking all the gdullah for himself. He's saying you bring it to me and I will tell you, as if like he's cutting Hashem out of it. No, ushmativ ksiv. All Moshe is saying is you bring it to me and I will hear and I will listen to it." Meaning, implying, e gemuna gemuna. If it's something that I already learned from Hashem, then good, I learned it, and I'll tell you. Ve'ilaya zilnava gemuna. And if not, then I'll go learn it from Hashem on the spot. So by saying takrivun elai or shmativ, Reb Nachman Yitzchok is saying Moshe didn't do anything wrong. You can't say that Moshe therefore was punished. That in the situation with Bnos Tzlafchod, where he's made to ask Hashem in front of everybody, because that's to begin with what he was saying he was going to do. So Ella Kidatanya. Rather, no, we have to understand what happened by Bnois Tzlafchod. Why did Moshe have to go to Hashem to ask? Why did he know? Why didn't Hashem make sure that he knew it ahead of time? Is Kidatanya, as we learn in a Braise, which we learned in Baba Basra. Ru'uya Parshas Nachlas de Moshe Rabbeinu. It would have been suitable, it would have been fitting that. The parasha of Nachlis, this whole section about how Nachla works, that it goes from that if there's no sons, then daughters, and if there's no daughters, then brothers, etc., as we learned in detail in Brava Basra, that should have been written like by that should have been written through Moshe Rabbeinu. In other words, it should have been like all the other sections in the Torah. Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe Lamer, here's what happens when a person dies. Elisha Zochu Bnois Tzlafchod, but Bnois Tzlafchod had this chus, the Nichtav al Yod, then it was written through them, meaning that they were the ones who came to Moshe with the question, and therefore it was written in the Torah. But in other words, you shouldn't think, Maharsha explains in Baba Basra. The point of that is you shouldn't think, and if it hadn't been for Bnois Tzlafchod, what if they hadn't come forward with their claim? Would this mitzvah be missing from the Torah? No, it would still be there. It just would have been like every other mitzvah. Hashem would have unilaterally told it to Moshe Rabbeinu, not in connection with a particular case. But here they have the schus that it happened in connection with their particular case. And similarly, similarly, the section about the Mekoshesh Eitzim, that a person was being Mechal Shabbos over there, gathering wood, different opinions in the Gemara, what Malacha exactly he was being over on, but whatever, he did a Malacha. And we learn over there that somebody who was Mechal Shabbos gets Skila. Again, Shetikosivai de Moshe Rabbeinu, it would have been worthy for it to be written through Moshe. Same thing, at some point it should have said, Vaidabra Hashem Moshe Lema, somebody who breaks Shabbos gets Skila. Elishin is chayiv mekoshish. But the Mekoshesh was guilty of acting wrongly, v'nichtaval yada, and therefore it was written through him. L'lamnecha, which comes to teach you, shemagalgal and choyva aydei chayev, Hashem brings about a negative thing through people who are guilty, uschus aydei zakai, and a schus. So the fact that a mechallel Shabbos gets skila, we learn from somebody who violated Shabbos, and the fact that that nachla goes to the daughters, we learn aydei zakai, we learn it from the ones who did the right thing, namely b'nois tzlafchad. Really, of course, there is the opinion we learned in Rabbi Basra about this, that the Mekoshesh Eitzim himself was Slavchad. So in that case, then, and we learned also over there, Tosfos had talked about that maybe he wasn't that maybe it's not so much that he was actually just blatantly being Mechal Shabbos. He had a reason behind it because he wanted to demonstrate to the Jewish people after the Chet Egel that Shabbos is still important and mitzvahs are still important, and he's willing to be Moser Nefesh for that. So still though, we can say that in a certain sense he's a Chayav, and therefore it happens through him. So actually, the Chassam Sofer brings a bit of a positive thing in his sense. Again, since we're saying he meant L'shem Shemayim, he didn't have any sons, so therefore, he's executed over there, and what's going to happen? He's not going to have any sons to carry on his name. So therefore, Hashem caused it that now you have his name is carried on through the Mekoshesh, and that his own daughters are the ones who were the ones who were Zoicha, and the Parshas Nachlas is written through them. Okay. Now, So now we've gone through the psukim with Moshe's instructions to the dayanim, but now the next pasuk continues there in Parashas Devarim. The next pasuk continues Vatzava Eschem, where Moshe says, "I commanded you at that time." So the Gemara says, "Ksiv Vatzava Sheftechem Ba'isahi." Urdiu, you have the pasuk which we already quoted in Darshan that Moshe says, "I commanded your judges and I gave them instructions." Uchtiv Vatzava Eschem Ba'isahi, and then it says, "I commanded you." So what Moshe commanded the judges, we understand before. We said that they should make sure to have their tools of the Dayanim available and use them when necessary and not use them more. And then as Tosfos had said, not use them more than necessary. But on the other hand, so what's the instruction to the to Eschem, to you, to the people? It means Moshe is speaking to the Tzibur. He's telling them they should fear the Dayanim. And it's also a warning to the Dayan that he should be willing to handle the Tzibur and to be able to deal with them and do whatever is necessary for them and not get frustrated by them. Ad kama, so in other words, the point is, so there are instructions to both. So according to Rashi, again, what we're saying is, before we said that the Dayanim do have to use their tools of the Dayanim when necessary, the makil and the stick and the stick and the strap and so on and so forth. But nevertheless, we're also saying, on the other hand, that that it also means the Dayan also has to be patient with the Tzibur. So in fact, Maosha says, Rashi would say, before it said Vatsava, which is Meloshin Zirus, which means, like we said, in other words, be quick when necessary to use the Makil and Ratsua. But here we're saying the context of the Pasuk, Vatsava Sheftechem versus Vatsava Eschem, implies that there are two Tzivuyim, two commandments, one to the Shoftim, one to the Tzibur, that both are parallel to one another. So this is that each one of them should make sure to listen to the other. The Dayanim, the Tzibur has to listen to the Dayanim, and the Dayanim have to listen to and be patient with the Tzibur. According to Tosfos, the question doesn't begin in the first place because, according to them, to begin with, the instruction to the Dayanim was to be patient with the Tzibur. And so now the Gemara is just reinforcing that. So the Gemara says, Ad kama, how far does the Dayan have to go in being patient with the Tzibur and dealing with everything, with all their complaints and everything? Omer Abchonen, v'item Rab Shabsoi, as we find Moshe says about himself, Kasha Yiso Oymenes HaYonik, like we find Moshe describes himself, that I need to, that he's telling Hashem in Parshas Bahaloscha that I'm having to bear all the burden and all the everything of the Tzibur like a nurse is holding and taking care of a baby. So in other words, everything. In other words, the Dayan has to be very, very patient with the Tzibur like the way that a parent or a babysitter or whatever would be with a baby. In fact, the Nitziv points out on this a cute thing. He says, you know, babies sometimes he'll also dirty himself and you sometimes. Even then, the Dayan has to be patient with such a thing as well. In this connection, speaking of the relationship between the dayanim and the leaders of the community and the tzibur, ksiv ki ata tovoi uchtiv ki ata tovi. In Parshas Vayelech, first Moshe tells Yeshua, you chazak v'hamotzi, tells him, be strong, you are going to be coming with them to Eretz Yisrael, uchtiv. And then a few psukim later in the parasha, when Moshe is giving the instructions to Yeshua, he says, ata tovi, you will bring them. So what's the difference? Because Moshe is telling Yeshua, you together with the skenim are going to be leading the people. In other words, Moshe is telling Yeshua, it's not just going to be you all by yourself. You will come together with them in a way you're all going to be equals. However, but Hashem says to Moshe and to Yeshua, no, if you need to, take a stick and beat them over the head. Dabar echa l'dor and shnei daborim l'dor. There's only one leader for the generation, not two. So ultimately, there has to be, yes, the skenim do have to be involved, but you have to realize that you, Yoshua, are going to be the primary leader. So even though, yes, as we just said, Kasha Yisrael, Oymeres HaYonik, you have to be very patient and you have to deal with everybody and so forth. And we find the Jews in the times of Moshe were Tarchonim and Sarvonim. Moshe himself complains about it in Parshas Devarim, that they're very quarrelsome and argumentative and so forth. So now, Moshe is telling Yeshua, I think you're going to have the same situation, the same way as I went through a time when I felt I couldn't handle all the people. And Hashem tells me, you need Zakenim with you. So the same way, this is how Maharsha explains it. Moshe is telling Yeshua the same thing, you'll have the Zakenim together with you. But then Hashem is telling Yeshua, no, I'm going to give you the strength appropriate to the generation that they will be. After all, this generation of Baalei Torah, they're the ones who have the schus to come into Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, you will have an ema on them, and you won't need necessarily the skenim to help you out, because you'll be able to be the sole leader. You'll be able to be the sole leader by yourself. There's a sicha. The Rashi brings this also in Parshas Vayelech, and there's a sicha in Chelik Yud Tes where Rashi brings this point, but with slightly different wording. In particular, Rashi has the expression over there that he says, "Skenim shabadur, you imach hakol fi dait and ratzos, and everything is going to be according to their day and according to their advice." And Hashem tells Moshe, as he says over here, Hashem tells Yeshua, "Til makav hachal kod kodam." So there's a Rashi sicha over there where the Rebbe explains, in other words, that since it says ha'om hazeh, this people, which usually means not when we're talking when the Jewish people are not exactly on the highest level, so therefore Rashi explains, in other words, you're going to have hazeh means the skenim. Him, and Ha'am means the regular people, including Yeshua. Everything is going to be l'fi daitan v'atzosan. So, in other words, Moshe is telling Yeshua, as far as the wars, you're going to be the sole leader. But as far as the management of the Jewish people, that's going to be up to the dayanim. But then Hashem says to Yeshua, no, Tomak of Ahachokot Kodon, you're going to be the sole leader as far as everything. And again, like Maharsha says, the Skenim are not even going to have to help you out so much. Yeshua is going to lead the Jewish people in a different way than Moshe did. And then the Rebbe explains it over there in the Sicha B'Pnim Yasein Yonim, that Yeshua, we learned in Baba Basra, Yeshua is like the moon to Moshe's sun. But that means, in other words, that Moshe, from the point of view of Chochmah, he needs the Skenim as well, as opposed to Yeshua is at a level of a Bittul L'mayla Mitam Badas. So therefore, you don't need the Skenim. On the contrary, he brings about a Bittul in the Skenim through this Tel Mako. Interestingly, the Rebbe finishes off in that Sicha. A hirah from it is, when we say this Dabarach, you have to follow the leader of the generation. He said, which is a very appropriate point now when we're coming into Hanukkah with Mitzrayim. The Rebbe says at the end of the Sicha, you know, people wonder, what's this whole big deal with it, this whole trask with Mitzrayim and all of that? We never had that in previous generations. And the answer is that, yeah, Dabar Echal Ladur, you got to follow the Nasi Hadur, says that you got to go out and do Mitzrayim, then you got to do it. There's no second guessing that. It didn't used to be that way. Okay, but Hashem expects you to follow the leader of that generation and not to start second guessing and thinking that you need a second opinion. Okay. So thus far the drushes on the various thing, on the various instructions of Moshe to the Dayanim, and we're saying also the instructions of the Jewish people as far as their respect for the Dayanim. Okay. Now getting back to halachas of getting back to halachas now of bata dinim, the Gemara says Tana. We learn in a Braisa, zimun b'shloisha. Zimun requires three. Now my zimun. What do we mean by zimun? Usually zimun means to make a mezuman. So ilayma birkas zimun. Do you mean to make a mezuman? It's true you need three for a mezuman for hatanya, but we learn in a Braisa, zimun u birkas hamazon b'shloisha. We learn in a Braisa that zimun b'shloisha. That Zimun and Birkas Zimun, which means the actual benching, require three. So therefore, so obviously Zimun is something else than Birkas HaZimun. So you're going to say maybe the Braisa is just explaining with Zimun, namely Birkas HaZimun requires three. But no, V'haltanya, we have another Braisa that says it even more clearly. Zimun b'shloisha, birkas zimun b'shloisha. That both of them separately require three, implying that Zimun in this Braisa, in these various Braisas, does not refer to birkas hazimun, but rather something else. Ela my zimun azmuni ladin. So the word zimun in this braisa means summoning people to Beis Din. When Beis Din issues a summons to come to Beis Din, it requires three dayonim. And that means ki hoda amar Rava, namely like what Rava said, hani beit tlosa dayoni diyasvi, when three dayonim are sitting, v'ozol shlicha de beit dina v'omer b'puma dechad, the shliach Beis Din goes to summon somebody to Beis Din and says in the name of one of them. So imagine, for example, you have the shtot Rav and two other dayonim are sitting and judging, and the shliach Beis Din goes and says the shtot Rav wants you to come to Beis Din. So that's loy amar klum. So Rava says what he said doesn't count for anything. Meaning, in other words, that if the guy refuses to come for the summons, then he can't be penalized in any of the ways that you normally would, because the summons has to be in the name of all three of them. Ad omer mishmei dekulu, but unless he says it in the name of all of them, so you have to mention the base. So you have to mention the Beis Din of three, Ploini, Ploini, and Ploini are summoning you to Beis Din. However, the Gemara says, "Hani mili bilo yoyma de dina." That would apply when it's not a regular day for Beis Din to be sitting in session. Avo be yoyma de dina, but on the regular days when Beis Din sits in session, such as Mondays and Thursdays, less slumba, then there's no issue in it, because then even the summons comes in the name of one of them, then you know that it's in the name of all three of them, because those are the regular days that Beis Din is sitting. So then it would be enough to give the summons in the name of one of them, and if the guy doesn't listen, then there are consequences. Okay. Next, we said in the Mishnah, Tashlumei Kefil Chula, we said there are a number of things that have to be judged by a Beis Din of three. We started by saying Dinei Momonos, Gzeilos, V'Chavolos, and we discussed that extensively a few blot ago. And the Mishnah continues that there are Tashlumei Kefil and a number of other Dinei Knosses that have to be judged by three. So the Gemara says, "Sholach le Rav Nachman bar Rav Chista, le Rav Nachman bar Yaakov." So Rav Nachman bar Rav Chista sends a message to Rav Nachman bar Yaakov. Elsewhere in Shas, by the way, there's an interesting discussion between Rashi and Tosfos. When we have plain Rav Nachman in Shas, which Rav Nachman is it? Rashi in Gittin learns that when we have Rav Nachman unspecified in the Gemara, it means Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok. But Tosfos over there says, no, it's actually Rav Nachman bar Yaakov or Rav Nachman over here. So generally, he's just called plain Rav Nachman only when he's mentioned together with another Rav Nachman, as in this case, Rav Nachman bar Rav Chista. Then he has to be called by his father's name. Anyway, so Rav Nachman bar Rav Chista sends a message to Rav Nachman bar Yaakov, Yilamdenu Rabbeinu, Rebbe, teach us. Now, Rav Chista and Rav Nachman were chaverim. But now it's Rav Chista's son, Rav Nachman bar Rav Chista. So Rav Nachman bar Yaakov is the previous generation. So he addresses him respectfully as Rebbe. Dine knossos v'kama. When it comes to judgments of knossos, whereas we learned, at the beginning of the Masechta, dine knossos is any case where the Torah is telling the person that he has to pay more or less, or most cases where the Torah tells him that he has to pay more or less than the actual amount of damages or a fixed amount. So, for example, tashlumei kefil are an example of knas. Chatzi nezek in most cases is a din of knas, because he's paying only half the nezek. The fact that the Torah says, for example, that an onus or a mafata pays a fixed amount, 50 sloyim, is also an example of a knas. So now, Rav Nachman bar Rav Chista is asking how many judges are needed to judge dinei knossos. What is my coming by? What is Rav Nachman bar Rav Chista asking? Ha'anantnan b'shloisha. The Mishnah or Mishnah says three, and Rav Nachman bar Rav Chista knows the Mishnah. Ella, no, the question was Yochin Mumcha Kami Boile. His question was, now we learned before that in cases of Dine Mominis, we said, at least according to some opinions, a Yochin Mumcha could judge an individual who's an expert, where we talked about that an expert means that he's known to be an expert and he got permission to do this from the Nasi or the Reish Galusa. So now the question is, does that apply to Dine Knossos? Does that apply to only regular Dine Mominis, or does it also apply to Dine Knossos? So that's the question. So Ella Yochid Mumcha come about like doin dinik knosis eloi, can a Yochid Mumcha judge dinik knosis similar to the way that a Yochid Mumcha could judge regular dinik mominus, or maybe knosis are different. Meaning, now we learned a few blocks ago that we had a machloikus whether minatora we had Rabbahu saying we had Rabbahu saying in particular that minatora you need three dayanim and according to him you can never have less than three, and then we had Shmuel's opinion that said that minatora one dayan would be enough. And then we said that the that and according to that we said then that the so according to Rabbi Boho, we said the Chachamim made a takana, you don't need three mumchim for regular dinim mamonis, three regular people is enough because sholaitino delos bifnei loivin, as opposed to according to Shmuel we said that minatora one would be kosher. So the point is, in other words, that now. And Tosfos earlier in the Masechta explained that even Rabbi Bohu, who holds that Minatora, you need three always, he would agree that Dirabbanan, it's enough to have a Yochid Mumcha. So now the question would be whether this also applies to Dinei Knossos. Okay. So Omalei, sort of Nachman by Yaakov answers him Tinisua. We see in the Mishnah, we can it's true, it doesn't say explicitly in the Mishnah, but we can derive it. The Mishnah had said Tashlume Kefal with Tashlume Abav Chamisha B'Shloisha, that Tashlume Kefal and Tashlume Abav Chamisha, all of which are Knossos, require three Dayanim. Now my Shloisha, what kind of three Dayanim? Ilema Shloisha had Yotis. Do you mean three hedyotis, three regular people who are not mumchim? No, ha'oma avur da'avuch mishmei rab. Your grandfather, so that would be Rav Chista's father, had said in the name of Rab, afilo asor v'hin hedyotis, still in the dinik knosis, that even if you have 10 people who are hedyotis, are possible to judge dinik knosis. Dinik knosis can be judged only by a beis din of mumchim, and mumchim over here means smuchim, the ones who have the smicha ish mipi ish to back to Moshe Rabbeinu. So we see clearly that Rab says that if they're not smuchim, they can't judge dinik knosis, no matter how many of them there are. Ela mumchim. Obviously, then the Mishnah must be talking about mumchim. V'kama shlosha, and the Mishnah is saying three. So yes, that would be the answer. A yochid mumcha cannot judge dinik knosis. You need a minimum of three always, and they have to be mumchim, namely that they have smicha. Now, the Mishnah had gone on to say, among the cases that among the various cases that the Mishnah had mentioned, one of them was Motzi Shemra. Motzi Shemra is a case where a husband goes to Beis Din saying that his wife, that he found his wife to not be a psula. Now there are there's a, so first of all, the Mishnah had said that a Motzi Shemra b'shloisha divrei Reb Meir. Reb Meir had said it's enough to have three dayanim for that, and the Chum said 23 because there's dinin nefashos involved. Now you have like this. When it comes to Motzi Shemra, there's a couple of possibilities. He might be saying that she's not a basula, and he's saying that he could be saying just that, just I don't have evidence that she was mizana. I'm not saying she's chayiv misa, but I am saying. But I am saying that because she's not a basula and I expected her to be, therefore it's a mekach tos, and I shouldn't have to pay her. I should be able to divorce her or annul the marriage or whatever and not pay her ksuba, or at most that I shouldn't have to pay. I shouldn't be on the hook for a ksuba of 200 zuz. So you could have that. Then the classic case of Motzi Shemra, which is described in the Torah, and the dinim of it are discussed extensively in Masechta Ksubas, is the husband brings Edim that his wife was Mizana after the Erusin. If that's true, then she's going to be Chayiv Skila. If not, if it turns out that his Edim were false, then instead he gets Malkus, he pays a fine of 100 sela, and he's never allowed to divorce her. So now we're going to be talking about all those details over here. So the Mishnah had said, so again, Rav Meir had said that a Motzi Shemra, you can have a Beis Din of three, and Rav Meir, and the Chachamim had said, you need 23 because there's Dinei Nefashos involved. So the question is, v'chi may havi. And so what? So what if there could be dinin nefarshes eventually? Aren't we talking about right now only the dinin mamonis aspect of it? Aren't we talking about the Gemara's understanding over here that there is a type of motzi shemra where there's misa involved? But the Gemara is bothered by it. In other words, when we say it sounds like we're saying motzi shemra b'shloisha, namely he wants to come to Beis Din and claim she wasn't a besula and therefore she should forfeit her ksuba. So therefore, so the mayor is saying that's three. Now, why would the chachamim say 23? Because there, you don't even because there are dinin nefarshes means there is type of motzi shemra that involves dinin nefarshes. So what? He's not coming with that kind of claim of motzi shemra. So why should the Chachamim say that you need 23? So Ula says the Machloekas, Reb Meir, and the Chachamim is about Choshishin Laz. Are we concerned that when they now Rashi and Tosfos have very, very different explanations of what the Sugya is going to be saying over here? So first Rashi. So when they come to Beis Din, Edom might hear that they came, that this couple came to Beis Din. And then Edom are going to come forward and give Edos that she was Mizana. Right now, the husband doesn't know that there are such Edom available yet. So what happens is, therefore, the Chachamim are saying, So the mayor is saying, don't worry about that to begin with. Just gather together a Beis Din of three. If such Edim show up, then yeah, then we'll reconstitute the Beis Din and add another 20 Dayonim so we can have Dinin Nefashis. Whereas the Chachamim are concerned about that possibility in the first place, and therefore so Choshin, the laws kamiflegi. So are we concerned that there's gonna be a laws, that there's gonna be the rumor is gonna go out that this couple has gone to Beis Din, and then Edim are gonna show up to say that she was Mizana? Reb Meir in Chushin Laz, Reb Meir says we're not concerned about that kind of laws. So therefore, it's enough to have three. But Rabban and Savri, Chushin Laz, the Chum say that we do have to be concerned about laws. It could happen that it ends up being a case of Dinin Nefashos if such Edim come forward, and therefore, to begin with, we have to have a Beis Din of 23. Now, that's according to Rashi. Tosfos has a lot of problems with Rashi's explanation. First of all, Rashi begins by saying the Gemara has assumed to begin with that the husband's claim is only that he wants to make her forfeit her ksuba. He's saying, I didn't find her b'sula. Maybe she was Mizana during the Erisin, maybe not. I don't have evidence one way about that or the other. But I do know she's not a b'sula, and therefore I don't want to have to pay her ksuba of 200. But the problem is, one problem is, Tosfos says, the Mishnah is mentioning this together with Onus and Mefata, which is a matter of knas. So that would suggest we are talking about the classic case of Motzi Shemra, where if it turns out that his claim is false, then he's going to be getting Malkus, and he's going to be paying a fine of 100 sela. And there are many, many other explanations. Tosfos has a half dozen questions on Rashi's explanation. So rather, Tosfos explains the whole sugya. We are talking about the hundred sela. So we're talking about, to begin with, the case comes to Beis Din. The father says to the husband, "You're defaming my daughter. You're saying that she was mizana and that she was mizana during the Eidosin, and she's chayav misa. I have edim that show that you're lying, that your edim a false edim or whatever, and therefore you owe me the hundred. Therefore you owe me." The hundred sloim. So now the choshish in the laz would be like this: the husband brings edim that she was mizana. Now we were makrish the edim, so we weren't mazim them necessarily. The other edim didn't come and say monu hayisim, but other edim came and were makrish them and said it's not possible that happened. Let's say, for example, the other edim. So let's say you have two edim come and say that she was mizana in New York on such a day, and two other edim come and say on that day she was in Eretz Yisrael. So now we're not saying the first set are not Edim Zomin, but nevertheless the Edus has been cancelled out because of two against two. So what happens now is, so now the husband is chayev, the hundred sloim. So now the Chachamim are saying you need 23 to begin with, because again, what happens if later on Edim may come that she was Mizana, other edim that is may come then and say that she was mizana, and then we're going to have to add another 20 dayonim, because at that point it becomes a matter of dinin of fashas. Now the laz is going to be motzi laz on the earlier dayonim to say, you know what, you know why we have to have 20 extra dayonim, because the first three dayonim didn't know how to judge the case, and therefore we had to add a bunch more. So when it was Hazama, then we can say Tosfos says you can see the fact that he got Edim and they were Muzam shows that he's to begin with bringing false Edim. But Hukhashu doesn't mean really. In other words, there's no particular reason to bring two to trust one set of Edim over the other. Practically speaking, we can't convict her because we have evidence one way and the other way. So therefore, so maybe he is telling the truth, and there is more of a concern that if he brings other Edim later that say that in fact she was Mizana on a certain date, on a certain time, etc., that there's going to be dinin nefashos over here. So then the laws over here means that people are going to think the earlier Dayanim were incompetent and they didn't know what to do, and therefore we had to add a bunch of Dayanim, and the Chachamim are not, so the mayor is not concerned for that, and the Chachamim are. So that's Tosfos's understanding of Choshesh in the laws. Rava Omar, the Gemara continues, Rava says, or on the side over here it says it might be Rabba, to kula amal laz lechashinen. No, the machlokas of Meir and the Chachamim is something else. They both agree we're not concerned about the possibility of laz. But the argument is, are we concerned about the kavod of the earlier Dayanim? Namely, what do we mean? What we're talking about over here. Suppose that to begin with, 23 Dayanim gathered because Lemaidan Dinin Nefashos to judge the case of Dinin Nefashos, because the husband says, I have Edim that she was Mizana, and therefore there's a Dinin Nefashos involved over here. But eventually the Ivdur, so he looked for those Edim, he couldn't find them, the Ivdur, so the Chachamim scattered, they all broke up and went their ways. Because he couldn't find them, or Tosfos points out there might have been various other reasons. There might be an oinus. There might be that they had a reason to leave. There was pachad. They were afraid. So Tosfos explains a little differently. The father of the girl did bring Edim to be mazim, the husband's Edim. But before Beis Din had a chance to listen to that second set of Edim, Ivdur, they scattered machmas oinus because there was some kind of oinus or pachad, or they went to greet the king, or they went to measure the distance to the city for the Eglah Arufa, and all that are left is three. But Omalahu, so the husband says, you know what? Listen, I don't have my Edim, and we don't have 23 over here to judge the Dinin Nefashos. So fine, at least Dayanuli Mia Dinin Mominus. At least since there are three of you over here, judge me the Dinin Mominus part of it, that I shouldn't have to pay Huksuba. Or according to Tosfos, that the father is claiming for me 100 Selah. So now the question is, do we have to, so the mayor is going to say, fine, we're not worried about the covet of the Rishonim, of the earlier Beis Din of 23. Fine, 20 of them are gone. As long as we have three, we can at least judge the Dinin Nefashos case. The Chacham is saying, we're choshesh for the covet of the Rishonim, of the earlier Dayanim. We don't want all of them left, and what people are going to think, they're no good Dayanim or something, and therefore they all left. We have to call them all back together in order to judge the case. And without that, otherwise, yeah, we're going to say that the other ones were not good Dayanim. Okay, but Gemara says Meisvi. I have a contradiction. So again, so far we have two explanations. Again, Ula's explanation was that we're choshish in the laws, which according to Rashi means that we're concerned that once news of the case gets out, Edom are going to come forward. And according to Tosfos, the vote is that people are going to think that the earlier Dayanim didn't know what they're doing, and therefore we need to add another 20. And Rava or Rava's explanation was that we're talking about originally. They had 23 and then 20 of them left. So the verse is Maisvi. I have a contradiction on Ula. Abraisa says, the Chum say it's not so simple whether you need three or 23. It depends. If there's a claim of only money, so he's not coming for dini nefashos, he's just coming to say that she should forfeit her ksuba, v'shloisha, then it's enough to have three dayanim, tovei nefashos. But if to begin with the claim is of nefashos, that he's claiming that he has edim, that she was mezana, then be'esrim v'shloisha, then you need 23. So bishleim l'rava or l'rabba, tovei mamon tchila v'shloisha, tovei nefashos tchila. So according to Rava or Rabba, we understand the Braisa as follows: tovei mamon tchila. If the husband is coming to claim mamon to begin with, he's only coming to make her forfeit her ksuba b'shloisha, then it's enough to have three. Tov nefashos tchila, and if he comes first with a claim of nefashos to begin with, he comes and says, "I have a claim involving edim, which is going to be mechayev misa." Then that tov nefashos tchila afilu mamon, even if in the end it turns out to be only a monetary claim because he couldn't find the edim, the esrim shloisha, then we need 23. because choshishin l'kavodim. Elal ula kasha, but according to ula, it's a kasha. How would he understand tovei mamon b'shloisha? According to ula, to begin with, we always have to have 23 because we're concerned of choshishin the laws. So Rava says, Aniva Arish Bachavura Taugimna, I, together with the lion, I mean the great powerful Tamar Chacham in the group of Chachamim, Taugimna, we explain how the Braisa would work according to Ula, and the Gemara interjects Manu Rabchia Ba'ovin, who is this Arisha Bachavura, is Rabchia Ba'ovin. So the two of us together explain Chacham Mayaskinan, the case is over here in the Braisa, to for and for how the Braisa would work according to Ula, Shehevi Abal Edim Shazinsa, the husband to begin with brings Edim that his wife was Mizana, Vehevi Av Edim, Vehez Zimum Edi Abal, the father then brings Edim that are Mazim the Edi Abal. So, unlike before, we talked about in Tosfos that they were Machish them, where they just said it's impossible that it's so, because, for example, she was elsewhere at the time, so that's Hakosha, not Hazama. It means the Edim are contradicting one another, and we don't know which one is telling the truth, so we just throw out the whole thing, and we just say we need other Edim to begin with, as opposed to Hazama, when the second set of Edim come and say, Imanu Hayisim, you were with us at that time someplace else, meaning maybe she was Mizana on that date in New York, maybe not, we don't know, but you can't say that because you were with us in Eretz Yisrael at the time. Anyway, so here we're talking about there's Hazama. So now we have the full-fledged case of Motzi Shemra in terms of the husband's responsibility. So now he's going to have to pay his 100 sloim knas, and he's going to get malchus as well. So the Braisa is saying, Bo ligmus mamon min baal, when we say that he's coming to collect money, not that we thought before, it means the husband is coming to collect money from his wife, namely to make her forfeit huksova. It means the father of the girl is coming to collect money from the husband. Because he's saying, you were a Motzi Shemra, you claim that my daughter was Mizana, and now you Edim have been shown to be Edim Zomimin, and therefore you're on the hook, you have to pay the 100 sloim. So then the Chachamim and the Braisa are saying, that's enough to have three, because then it's only a matter of dinim ominous. But if there's a case of dinim nefoshes, namely the beginning of the case where the husband is saying that she was mizana, and he wants to, and he wants not just to make her lose her ksuba, but there is, or maybe even he does want to have, according to Rashi, that he wants to make her lose her ksuba, but potentially Adam might come forward and say she was actually mizana during the erusin. Then we're saying the esru mishloisha. Then the Braisa would say that the chacham are saying that then you need 23 because that's already a matter of dinin nefashis. So in other words, the point is that when we say in the Braisa, so Rava and Rav Chiya Bar Ava are now explaining, the Braisa is talking about two different claims. There's the case, there's later on in the story where the father takes this husband to Beis Din and says that you were Motzi Shemran, my daughter, pay up the 100 sloyim. So then, to begin with, that such a case needs only three, as opposed to earlier in the story where the husband, to begin with, had brought the claim that his wife forfeits the ksuba, and potentially that could become a matter of dinin nefashis, where then we would say you need 23. So the Braisa would work out according to Ula, because even Ula is going to say, in the case where the father is bringing the husband to Beis Din, there's no possibility of it becoming dinin nefashis. The most that's going to happen is the father says to the husband, you have to pay me the 100 sloyim. And Rashi also points out, by the way, as Tosfos had said before, that once there was Hazama over here, then we know that we're not gonna necessarily accept more Edim from the husband on this, because the fact that he brought such blatantly lying Edim means that now at this point he's gonna have to pay his 100 sloim. So again, we're talking about that the second part of the case over there, the father is bringing the husband to Beis Din. So then there's no concern of choshish in the laws, because no edim are gonna come forward to say that she was in fact mizana. So therefore, we can just do it with three, and we don't need 23. Again, according to Tosfos's explanation before, that the choshish in the laz was rather that we're concerned that not like Rashi had said, that we're talking about that he brings the case to Beis Din to begin with dinin mominus, and it may turn into dinin nefoshes if Edim come forward, but rather we said Tosfos had explained before that we are talking about, to begin with, the father is taking the husband to Beis Din, and choshishin laz means that afterwards the husband may be bringing other edim. So again, where there was hazama involved over here, then we're not concerned about that, because once he brought, to begin with, false edim, then it's less likely that he's going to bring new edim and that it's going to end up being a matter of dinin nefashos, as opposed to at the beginning when he first brought his edim, and there was only and then and there was only and when he first brought his edim, and there was and then and there was only hakasha, he might conceivably bring other edim, and then it would be a laz on Beis Din, and then it would be a laz on Beis Din that later on we're going to need 20 more dayanim, and people are going to think that the three dayanim to begin with didn't know what they were doing. Okay, so that way we can make the braisa work according to Ula as well. So the Gemara brings a few other explanations. So far so far we had two explanations. Now going back to, we had the machlokas from Meir and the Chachamim in the Mishnah, whether you need three or whether you need 23. So far we had two explanations. Again, we had Ula's explanation that to begin with it was a case of dinin mominus, and later on it may turn into dinin nefashos. And the question is, therefore, whether Choshesh and the Laz are not, according to Rashi's and Tosfos' respective explanations. Then we had Rava saying it's not a matter of Laz, it's Choshesh and the Kvod and Shor Rishon, and we had 23 to begin with, and then 20 of them left. So now the Gemara is going to bring several other explanations of the Machlokas of Meir and the Chachamim. Abaya says another explanation. Dekula Alma Choshesh and the Laz, both Rav Meir and the Chachamim would agree that we are Choshesh for Laz, according to Rashi, that new Edom may come forward, and according to Tosfos, that people are going to think the earlier Dayanim didn't know what they were doing, and also that we're concerned for the kavod of the earlier Dayanim, namely that if we had 23 there, we need to continue with 23 and not just continue with the three that are left. And the case over here in the Mishnah would be, going to ask Rabbi Stam, the husband brought Edim to that she was Mizana to the Beis Din of three, but the Edim said we were only master in her just generically. We didn't tell her that she's going to be Chayiv Misa. So therefore, the mayor holds there can't be any dinin nefashos involved, and therefore it's enough to have the case judged by three, because without telling her she's going to be Chayiv Skila, then she's not going to be able to be Chayiv Misa anyhow. Rashi, by the way, mentions over here before we get to this that Rashi says some want to explain that the moment that we're dealing with over here in the sugya is where the father is suing where the father of the girl is suing the husband for the 100 sloyim. Rashi doesn't like that explanation. But again, Tosfos' whole explanation, Rabbi Natam's whole explanation in Tosfos, was indeed based on that point that we are talking about that claim. But anyway, Abaya is saying that what we're talking about over here is the husband brings his claim, but the Edim are coming and saying that we didn't give her Hasra to tell her that she's Chayiv Skila. The High Tanahu, therefore, this would be subject to the following following Machlokas of Tanoim. The Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, Ushar Kochayvim, Mrs. Shabbat Torah. First, the Braisa starts saying that with a Mesis is a special case, that with him you don't even need to give him Asura as far as Misa, but Ushar Kochayvim, Mrs. Shabbat Torah, and Misa Moisim Alaba Edim V'Edim V'Asura. All other people who are Chayiv Misa in the Torah, they can be executed only when there's an Eda, based in of 23, the Edim, you need two Edim, V'Asura, and they have to give Asura. But now when it comes to a Mesis as well, does that mean a Mesis does not need Hasra? A Mesis obviously needs Eda, he needs a Beis Din, and he needs two Edim. Does he need Hasra or not? Rashi implies that he doesn't need Hasra at all. All you need is Edim who saw that he was trying to be Mesis, that he was trying to convince somebody to worship Avodah Zarah, and for that alone he's Chayiv Misa, as opposed to Tosfos says it does mean that the Mesis still needs Hasra. It just means the Hasra for him is going to be a little different than for everybody else. Later in the Masechta, we're going to learn that a Mesis comes to somebody and says, let's worship Avodah Zarah. So the guy has Edim hiding behind a fence or something, and he tells him, you know, you're telling me to worship Avodah Zarah. Don't you realize we have only the Abishtir? And the guy says, Alpha Pekin, I don't care, we should worship this Geshke anyhow. And then the Edim can jump out of hiding and arrest the guy and bring him to Beis Din. So there does need to be a form of Hasra, but the Hasra would be by telling him how could we do such a thing. As opposed to according to Rashi, it sounds like he doesn't need Hasra at all. Anyway, the point is though that other than a Mesis, everybody else needs aid of Ein Vasra, va'ad she'edi Yehoshu chayev misa b'beistin. And furthermore, they have to inform him that he's chayev misa in beistin. So it's enough to inform him according to the Chacham, according to this Tanakhama, that it's enough to inform him that he's chayev misa, but not which misa. Rabbi Yehuda omad she'edi be'ezim misa hu nerag. Rabbi Yehuda says they have to actually inform him which of the four misas beistin he's going to be chayev. So therefore, so now the Machloikas and our Mishnah would depend on that. The Edim come and say, yes, we saw her Mizana. Yes, we warned her. We told her she's going to be Chayiv Misa, but we didn't tell her that she's going to be Chayiv Skila. Does that work or not? Reb Meir holds it doesn't work. So therefore, she can't be Chayiv Misa anyhow. So therefore, a lot of based in of three judge the case, because anyway, there's no Chiyuv Misa involved. The Chachamim say that, no, you need 23, because according to them, they disagree with Reb Yehuda. They say it's enough to tell her she's Chayiv Misa, and you don't need to say what kind of Misa, and therefore, this is going to be a case of Dinin Nefashos, and therefore, you need 23. That's another way of explaining the machlokas without us needing to say that there were two different cases or choshesh in the laws or any of those things. So we'll continue tomorrow. But Be'ez Hashem, the Gemara is going to bring a few more answers, a few more explanations about the machlokas of Rameyer and the Chachamim.